Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sue.
Well, today it's a big day. It's International Podcasting Day.
I don't believe you.
It is, or as I like to call it, International Listening Skills Day. Everyone's going to listen to stuff and learn.
Okay. And why do they have International Podcasting Day?
Well, I suppose it's to promote this type of broadcast, I'm going to call it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it started, I don't know whether you know the history of this, do you? Podcasting?
I may know some.
Well, it started in February, to be exact, February 2004.
Uh-huh.
And it was a Guardian journalist, and he's also a BBC journalist, and he was writing about this type of mini kind of broadcast, and he just invented, he just coined the phrase podcast, because it comes from pod, iPod, and broadcast, and you kind of crunch it together, and it comes out as a podcast. That's your interesting fact for the day.
Was it Ben Hammersley?
That's right.
When was the first podcast recorded or broadcast?
Oh, you've got me on that one. I don't know when the first one was, but I know when he coined the phrase.
2004, he coined the phrase, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Well, the first podcast was by a person called Christopher Lydon from Radio Open Source, and he recorded the first podcast in Boston in Massachusetts in July 2003. Now, you'll find if you go online looking for this, some people will say it was Adam Curry, but it was actually Christopher Lydon.
And what was he talking about?
It was from Open Source Radio.
Yeah.
And so I'm not really sure whether maybe it was about open source programs.
Because that's the great thing about it. Like, it's open source. It's open to everybody. Yeah. So tell me, why did you start? Because it was really your idea to do the podcasts. Why did you start the podcasts?
You know, I really can't remember. But I thought it was going to be useful for people because, like you say, listening. And I thought it'd be quite a lot of fun to do. But that would have been about 5 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
About 5 years ago. And we sort of dabbled in all sorts of things. A bit of comedy, a bit of serious stuff. Most of it is for learning. But we've also had a few people, we've invited a few people, and we've had also a few spoof invites.
We have. That was very good when you put all those voices together from famous people and you ask them funny questions. Well, no, you ask them normal questions and they gave funny answers.
All out of context, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah, out of context, yeah. What do you like about doing these podcasts, apart from the fun?
Well, also, one of the things is that you get quite a lot of good feedback. Not necessarily good feedback, but you get feedback that people are actually finding them useful.
Yeah.
And it's surprising. In fact, what surprises me is the reach of the podcasts. We record them in Toulouse, sometimes elsewhere, but mostly in Toulouse in the southwest of France. And the reach of these podcasts is absolutely amazing. You know, people
from
Mongolia, Russia, the Pacific Islands, everywhere. It goes absolutely everywhere.
For me, quite amazing when you get feedback from people from all over the world. Yeah. And what I quite like about it is that anyone can do it. It's quite easy to set up. But I know that you've had your finger on the pulse of all the equipment that we need, because you do need some type of equipment, don't you, really?
Yeah, I think I went into it a little bit blind, really. We started off by using a mixer. We also recorded most of our stuff through GarageBand. I know you've done some on your phone, etc. And also I did some with a little independent little microphone, which is quite good, a microphone recorder. But most of it went through this mixer. And in fact, retrospectively, we shouldn't have bothered with that, really. Because fairly recently, we bought an audio interface which feeds the microphones into the computers, and it gives, in fact, better audio quality than the mixer does.
Yeah, that's true, because we did have some kind of technical teething problems at the beginning, and it is a bit of a learning curve. But you say you've improved the kind of technical aspects of that quite a lot.
Well, it was quite difficult, in fact, because a lot of the places, if you can hear that, it's my two Jack Russell dogs in the background playing.
Okay, this is giving a bit of atmosphere. This is what I like about podcasts. They are spontaneous.
So I'll try and stop the dogs fighting. A lot of the advice that you can get online about on YouTube, etc., about podcasts, actually goes through quite expensive materials. And I found it was, you know, it would have been better probably to have gone really, really simple from the beginning. But, you know, retrospect, everybody's wise, isn't it? You know. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I would say is, if you are going to try a podcast, just get a couple of really good microphones, you know, the best that you can, and just an audio interface. So just to recap on that, a couple of good microphones. There are lots of free or open source mixing, which is the mixing which can be done through computers, such as GarageBand. If you've got an Apple, a Mac is totally free. There's other things for Windows. There's lots and lots of stuff like this. So a good pair of mics and an audio interface. There is, you know, there are one or two which are sort of industry standards, are very, very good. They're about €150, something like this, but to give you excellent, excellent quality. And then just look up if you need, you know, things such as condenser mics, non-condenser mics. It will give you lots of information about this. And that's basically what you need.
And I was thinking from another point of view, in terms of language learning, I mean, podcasts have been such a boost. I mean, I know from our point of view, we do things that are quite topical. We just get an idea and we go with it. So you don't have to wait until they come out in a book or anything. We just speak about it and go with it. And of course, the listener can listen again and again and again until they pick up all the points. So it's not like a radio broadcast where you listen and it's gone. You know, and there are so many positives for language learning. And also, I know what we like to do. As we know, there are so many accents in the world, and English is such a global language. We're happy to speak to all sorts of people whose, let's say, English isn't their first language. And it's great for communication. And I think it's really boosting people to listen. And as we know, once you've listened a lot, then you can speak. And I've just got some numbers here on how many people actually listen in the world to podcasts, as it's the International Podcasting Day. In the States, 90 million people a month listen. That's quite nice. I don't know what they're listening to, but, you know, so many podcasts out there. And places like South Korea, 53% of the population listen to podcasts every month.
Oh, very, very popular in South Korea, yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps it's because it's a mobile thing. You know, you can walk, you can listen when you're in the park or when you're walking around. And in Spain, 39% of the population. And what I like about it is that it's everybody can do it. If you've got a couple of mics and a little bit of technical know-how. And of course, we do have a website, which really helps to promote it as well. It is the platform.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I also heard that, you know, there's on the web at the moment, as of like September 2020, there are 1.5 billion websites on the web. Some of them are not in use anymore, but they're there.
And how many did you say? 1.5
billion.
Wow.
Which is quite a lot. And only 1 million of these are podcast sites.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a very, very small percentage of these, the sites that are on the which are podcast sites.
Mm.
Apparently, 60 million, going back to the sort of statistics, 60 million homes throughout the world are podcast fans. When I say podcast fans, they listen to a podcast every single day. Most people listen religiously to podcasts in their car every day.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can understand that. I think it's a nice way because, you know, you the news, well, it's not very exciting. Well, it's not very optimistic, the news at the moment. Music, you might have heard it all. And a podcast is, in fact, you can actually choose your topic. That's what I like about podcasts. Is that, you know, on the radio, you have to listen to what they've chosen, where a podcast, you choose what you're interested in.
Exactly. But talking of topics for podcasts, do you know what the most popular topic for podcasts are?
I'm going to say sport. No?
No, then it's not sport.
Animals.
Give me what you think the top three are. So you say sport, animals, and...
Well, I would say perhaps coaching, you know, in the sense like personal development.
Okay. In fact, the most popular, the top three are comedy, education, and news. So if we can do a podcast which is funny, actually helps people learn stuff and gives them some news, we should be at the very top of the podcast tree.
Well, I think this sums us up, actually. That's what we often do.
I mean, that first of all, that sort of surprised me a little bit. But afterwards, when you look at it, and a lot of what you said as well. Did you know that one of the first sort of pioneers of podcasting was Ricky Gervais and Stephen Fry?
Yeah, comedy.
They saw straight away that this is
going
to be, you know, happening. And so that was quite, you know, I mean, podcasting started in July 2003. In 2004, the Ricky Gervais show was on, you know, Love Him or Hate Him, was on as a podcast, and Stephen Fry as well. They saw the you know, the impending power or whatever.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you as well, what do you think is the advantage, I'm going to say, of podcasting over YouTube? Because YouTube's really popular.
Well, YouTube, you can't really get it in your car very well.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be getting it in your car very well.
Yeah.
Also, I think there's a lot of, you know, why is radio still mega popular? You know, there are shows on the BBC. I mean, there are obviously other flavors available, but on the BBC, there are shows which remain hugely popular, and people will listen to this. In fact, they will sort of prefer this over TV. So there is still a hell of a place for radio or audio, if you like, and podcasts sort of goes into that sort of niche. The only difference being is that. But also, a lot of these radio shows are available as podcasts as well. So sort of a listen later.
Yeah, so you can actually choose your topic and choose your timing and choose your place.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I don't know if you remember, but there was a song called Video Killed the Radio Stars, which sort of...
Yes, I do remember that, yeah.
And the rise of video, MTV, et cetera, would kill off radio. Well, you know, it's still not dead. It's still there.
Yeah, exactly.
Popular, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know the audience figures, but I know that some programs on Radio 4, for example, are very, very, very popular. It remains you know, sort of a captive audience, and also it's sort of the thing. What happens is it's not the old people that have stayed with it. They have quite a young audience that are going to it as well, because they prefer it. I guess it's the same type of thing with not a similar type of effect with people buying vinyl, you know, instead of CDs or MP3 downloads or whatever. People still buy vinyl. It's a huge, huge market, and it's always growing. Podcasts have a place.
It does. It absolutely does. Yeah. Good. Well, I think on that note, I think we've covered all the benefits. So we just wish everybody a very, very nice International Podcasting Day.
Do you eat cake on this day?
Can you eat cake? Yeah, you can eat cake on every day.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's not, you can have a international podcast cake.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Good idea. Well, I'll start baking it now.
Right. Right. Enjoy that then.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.